Não tem coisa, tem questão lá.
Well, you had a large concentration of population.
Yeah. No big authority.
That's right.
And I never heard that debated.
Yes.
And there was no question about it.
No.
I was going to remember when I finished that sentence about the, I forgot my name.
About Oyster Bay?
I said, I'll remember that in Chile later. What was that? Well, I'll forget it. I'll come back to it.
All right. Okay. Okay. Would we have progressed as rapidly under a different governor?
Well, insofar as the governor was responsible for this is the basic requirement that there be freedom for the university to develop.
Yeah.
And Rockefeller sponsored that by including the framework. What was the framework for the development of the university? The framework of the management. The framework for the... Oh, boy. It's so simple.
I'm trying to think.
So, you alluded to it before. Just before you came, it came into being.
Construction fund?
Yeah, the construction fund.
Yes.
Yeah. And that freed the university from the supervision of the budget office. And then the university had to go ahead, had planned to go. And that was Rockefeller's doing.
Yeah.
And once that was decided by the university, it could not be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That fund is still going on.
Yeah.
That was that accounts for some of it.
They had worked out a way of giving the university control of its own facilities development.
Yes, yes. It was a very unusual thing.
Yes.
The only Rockefeller could have done it, didn't he?
I remember coming there, looking at the location of the buildings.
Yeah.
And seeing the chemistry building closest to the library. And the humanities building quite a ways off. And I wondered who on earth had planned,
I don't know,
to put these buildings where they did.
I don't know. What did Steve say?
What's that?
What did Steve say?
I haven't really raised that question with him. I'm going to. I'm going to raise it with him.
Yeah.
When did you leave? Did you leave before John Toll came?
No.
Or were you provost?
Sure.
He came.
Yeah.
So he came up and interviewed you and Larry Murray and others.
I don't remember.
How was John Toll regarded by the central office?
He was regarded as a capable, but no question had a capability. And then he was regarded as, now I don't know what word I want. Maybe you can help me out.
Aggressive?
Well, it was aggressive.
Abrasive?
Abrasive. And he was constantly out for his purposes. Constantly out for his purposes. The purpose of his institution.
Yes.
For instance, I give you one example. He came to my house one night, just about 6 o'clock on Friday. And he sat down, and he began to ask me a lot of questions. Well, I stayed at 6:30, and I had to get home. So I said, well, Todd, I'm sorry to say you'll have to go now, and I'll see you Monday morning or whatever. He says, that's all right. Can you tell me where
Larry?
Lord Grant.
Lord Grant. I see.
Can you tell where he lives?
I see.
Yeah. I didn't know where he lives. I wasn't carrying any reception.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, show me where he lives. Well, I said, get in the car, I'll drop you off my way home. And I left him at 6:30, a quarter of 7 that Friday night at the in front of Mark Grant's house. Well, he worked like that. He was in and out. And when he came, he was just enthusiastic about his purposes. He was indefatigable. Mm-hmm. Indefatigable.
Right.
And he was a boy without a home. He was unmarried at the time.
Yeah.
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 Well, what do you ask about him?
I asked whether you were still in the office.
Yes, I was there.
But
yeah.
You were there.
Right. Yeah.
You know when you left?
In 16... they're all like... what kind of these days? Put me up. 60, okay. I can't remember.
Can't remember?
I can't. 6. I got all written down, but I couldn't remember.
Right. Well, I could find that out. I know it was Bentley Glass.
Yeah.
And I retired the same year from administration.
Yeah.
Bentley went on teaching. Because he and I are the same age to the day.
Is that right?
Right.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Ah, you're older. You're younger than he is.
No, no.
No?
Same
well,
age.
I mean, you look younger.
Oh. Well, my hair is a little darker. It's about it. Let me review these questions here. Who else beside Rockefeller do you regard as having made a real contribution to Stony Brook?
Well, Hamilton.
Hamilton.
I think he did.
Can you be specific in what way?
Well, he got rid of, he dismissed
Lee.
Lee.
Yeah.
And I think that was good.
Yeah.
And then he supported the appointment of Stoll. And that was the end of his time. He became dissatisfied with...
Hamilton left in December 31st of 62.
Is that right?
Yes. I remember coming on the job in September 4, 62. A week later, he announced that he was going to resign as of December 31st.
Yeah. Well, that's wrong, then. He is not.
He was not connected with Toll at all.
No.
What was Larry's contribution? He became, I think, acting president for a while until Sam Gould came.
I think
that was right. Okay. Larry was able to deal with Rockefeller and Hurd, I believe.
Yeah. Hurd, anyway.
Yeah. Hurd,
yeah.
Was Hurd supportive
difficult to say.
Okay.
He was so much involved in his own job that the university was incidental.
I see.
I don't... He never fought it.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it.
He was an academic from Cornell.
Yes. And that would set our dollars against him a bit.
Agriculture.
Yeah.
Did you have any feeling about the legislature?
No. You see, once the construction fund was established, the legislature lost its control.
I see.
And under Gould, when Gould first made his budget request, it was slapped down very severely by the head of the committee that could do that. I can't remember his name, but he'd been in the legislature a long time. And Gould then...
It wasn't Carlino.
No.
An upstate man?
No, downstate.
Downstate?
I think so. But anyway, Gould was new at the time.
Yeah.
He immediately went to the... Every campus on the university was 35 or no, 60-something. 60. And said, you must get out all of... get all of your supporters to write the legislature and everything like that. Sorry. And it had to be done. And he won, and the fellow was sore at him, but that was the end of it.
I see.
Now, that was the attempt to curtail Gould's input at the beginning, and Gould took it out.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing I had to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he worked very closely with Rockefeller.
Gould, that.
Yeah, Gould. Was Rockefeller governor when he was appointed?
Yes.
Yeah. He had to take it out of the university to fight.
Yeah.
But I think that was before the establishment of the construction fund. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, the construction fund was established before Gould came in.
Yeah.
What about the trustees? We haven't talked about the trustees. Frank Moore was chairman of the board for a while, and then Beth Moore.
Yeah.
Did you get good support from them?
Yes. Trying to think of any cases. They seem to be supportive. They were supportive.
They were supportive. Yeah. Were you involved with the acquisition of the Einstein professorship for Stony Brook? You know, Frank Yang's coming in?
Yeah. I was. I can't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the story of that?
Well, you remember the regents, apparently. Whether it was the governor and the regents, I don't know. But the regents set up two types of endowed chairs.
Yes.
Einstein for science and Schweitzer for humanities or social sciences. And these were to be competed for both by public and private institutions in the state of New York. I think they set up either three of each or five of each. I don't remember. And they were very, very lucrative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And John Toll, when he came in 65, already had Frank Yang's agreement that if he could get an Einstein chair, Yang would take it.
Oh, yeah.
And Yang was a Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah.
And he was at the time at the Institute for Advanced Studies at Princeton.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had a person in hand, so
yeah,
to speak, made it possible for Stony Brook to present to the Regents a very strong case.
Mm-hmm.
And it resulted in the award of an Einstein to a public institution.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's see.
I remember that. I remember it now.
Did you ever meet Malcolm Muir and Lester Evans or Thomas Tarn in the Muir Commission on Education for the Health Sciences?
I can't tell.
You can't remember?
I can't tell.
All right.
I think I met someone about it. I don't know. I met so many people.
Yes, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
I remember one meeting with Hamilton and a member of some, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was.
Lester Evans was the secretary of the Commonwealth Fund, which makes grants in the medical field. And he was one of the members of the commission. Do you have any idea why they picked Stony Brook for the Health Sciences Center?
Well, yes, I think so. I don't know, but I think it's going to be obvious that that Long Island did not have a state university.
Right.
And when we came to find out that the wasn't going to be a two-year college or something like that, so it's a grand creed of that, by the plan on the whole university center. And I think there was inevitable. I don't know how that came about. That was done before I was there. But it was done, and there was no debate on it. But why do you ask?
Well, I'm interested in the genesis of the commission and why they selected Stony Brook.
You'd have to ask them.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, who is Dr. Rule at all?
Yeah. He's in Sarasota.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to him.
Good.
I'm going to get to him as soon as I get down to Palm Coast. Every year I make a little circle.
Yeah.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, I have a cousin in Bonita Springs.
Yeah.
I go down around. I'll get
to him. Will you give my regards?
I certainly will. Yeah. Some of our own faculty are down in Sarasota.
Yeah.
Retired. Harry Kalish, for instance.
Yeah.
And Weisinger.
Yeah.
Eisenbud.
Yeah.
They're down there.
Yeah. I hope I'll see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. His reaction to the architecture on the campus. No, I know he disapproved of it. Disapproved.
Was John Slocum there when you were there? What were his functions or his position?
Oh, that's ridiculous. I
because I understand he was the go-between for the central office and Melville.
I couldn't tell that. I couldn't tell that.
Can you tell me anything about John? I never met him.
Nothing I should tell you.
Okay. All right. All right. Let me go with that.
I gotta go to John, but okay.
All right. Come on. All right. Well, we're almost to the end of this first side.
Yeah.
I have to watch. Make sure that light is on.
No.
Mm-hmm. Not the top, but the one on the side.
Oh, I see. Yep.
Remember anything about DeMaz, Picorni, and Weigel? Paul DeMaz, the architect?
No. No.
Okay. Well, your work was primarily with the development of the program, the educational program.
Yeah.
And the appointment of faculty. There was one person in the central office that I became very fond of, and that was Dave Price.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember his helping us get Alfred Kazin.
Yeah.
Remember breaking the salary scale?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, Northwestern had offered Kazin $20,000 to go out there. And at the time, which I think was either 63 or 64, our top salary was 18.
Yeah.
For a full professor. How could we meet it? And I put the case to Dave Price. And how we came up with the new title of Distinguished Professor. You remember that one?
No.
Because that's the origin of the title Distinguished Professor with a little bit more salary.
I don't remember it. I may have been involved in it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah.
He was very good.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there were several times that Storybrooke was fortunate. It didn't have to ask for very much. It didn't stop. Things they asked for, they got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't ask for things that were unreasonable, tried not to be unreasonable in what we asked for.
Yeah, in your time.
In my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There was pressure on us to go to graduate work as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And I felt that we should not ask for permission to offer a PhD in a particular field until we were really ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came, graduate work had already been approved for physics and chemistry. Biology was next. And with Dave Fox, I got agreement that we would go outside and get some people, bring them in to examine our biological work and our staff, in other words, our faculty, to make sure that we were ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then if our own local group had approved and we had a report from outside examiners, then we could go to you or go to the central office and make the request.
Yeah.
And you told me one time you thought that was an excellent idea and that you would see that that procedure became university-wide.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that? Okay.